Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
You're listening to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory and Ivory Coast Media Production.
Greetings and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the holiday year-end presentation of The Spectrum with Bob Ivory. You'll be listening to show highlights since we began our journey together this year. I hope you enjoy. Have a happy holiday, and may the new year bring new hope, blessings, and peace to you and yours. God bless.
Story to tell. Book. Today's show is called From Hurt to Healing, and it is dedicated to encourage women who are suffering from low self-esteem and low self-worth due to different types of abuse, be it verbal, be it physical, and sometimes just their own inner talk, their inner speech. And the environment in which they've grown up without a sense of value. And today's interview, it is my hope that it will provide some help and encouragement for those who may be suffering even to this day with a sense of loneliness, low self-esteem, and low self-worth, and without a concept of who God is and who He can be to you. Now, as long as I've known Deborah, she's been a very joyful person, very generous person, very giving person. But I also know that that's not always been the case. As she has shared different episodes about her life that just kind of left me with my mouth hanging open. And I am amazed at what she has endured by the grace of God and what she has let God do in her life. And that's exciting to me. And not just because I'm her husband, but I just love a good story. And when someone has something of value to add, I'm always anxious to help others to be introduced to that kind of help. So we're going to begin our time with Deborah, and I'm going to ask her the first question, and I'm just going to let her flow as she sees fit. But Deborah, tell us about your life prior to coming to Christ.
Well, my life prior to coming to Christ was, I thought it was fine. I thought it was good, but I later found out. Well, I grew up in the Jeffrey Projects. And I can remember, I'm the oldest of five siblings. So my mom, she was working out of the home, and well, she had to. At first she wasn't, but eventually when she was working outside the home, that's when things began to change for me. I had a wonderful childhood as a little girl, and when I got the way I got hurt was when my mother had to go to work and someone else had to take care of us. So when that took place, that means I was, some different things happened. And I'm not going to talk about that right now, but what I would like to talk about is how my childhood was after I became a teenager.
Okay.
That was really interesting, because this is what led up to me exactly wanting to know Christ, because I didn't know my purpose. And okay. I was giving my mom a lot of trouble when I grew up.
You?
Yes.
Giving Debbie. Your mother trouble?
Yes.
It can't be.
Because, you know, our home, it was a lot of parties and music, a lot of laughing and, you know, different things were going on. But also it was abuse going on, verbal, emotional, sexual abuse. And so when I was a teenager, I did everything that I thought grown people would do. Like I was smoking and drinking, smoking weed, drinking, and just doing everything I thought that grown folks was doing. Right. I was cussing people out like people, like I was unrecognizable. You wouldn't even know me when I was a teenager. But at home, I used to be like fanning when my mama's company would be smoking and everything. I'd be like I just couldn't stand it. But then when I get out, I'll be smoking with my friends. It happened when I went over to my cousin's house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I end up, you know, getting out of control. It's like I began to do things that caused me to get a whooping. You know, my mother was fed up. Sometimes I wouldn't even come home. I would, and my mom was worried about me, and I just gave her so much trouble that, she just didn't know what to do with me.
Okay.
So she would whoop me, and then she put me out. In fact, I got my last whooping when I was 18. I got a whooping, and I got put out because I didn't come home.
Wow.
I didn't care about the consequences. I was going to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. But this all came crashing down on me when I ended up going into the hospital. I was on self-destruct mode. I can remember being in the hospital, and I was I had pneumonia, asthma, and bronchitis. I was on 3 penicillin shots a day, and I was breathing treatments around the clock. And I can remember even in that I was in the bathroom standing on the toilet, smoking a joint, trying to blow the smoke out of the vent in the bathroom.
Wow.
And my boyfriend, he gave it to me. He brought it to me. This is who supposed to be loved me.
He, not me.
This is my former life.
Her former life.
And the kind of person I once was.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea. I mean, you couldn't even really imagine that I was the same person.
Right.
I began to change. I was in the hospital, and I realized that, wow, I'm on self-destruct. I mean, in hindsight, as I talk about my past, which I had buried it so far, I didn't hardly even remember this stuff. So anyway, I got out of the hospital. That was just one episode. But
right.
Then my mom was like, oh goodness, this is too much. You know, so I eventually, when I couldn't do right,
mm-hmm.
I become really, really sad, and I didn't like giving my mom that trouble, but I couldn't help myself. I didn't know why I couldn't change. I mean, so I found myself upstairs in my room crying my eyes out because I had gotten a whooping. I didn't mm-hmm. get my way, but then I said, man, what's the sense of even living? Because
mm-hmm.
if I'm going to die anyway, and then I can't get it right. I don't want my mom to be mad at me all the time, or because I can't get right. But my mom was, I had a good mother. She did the best that she could. In fact, when I was graduated,
mm-hmm.
she had given me $10,000.
Wow.
And a house.
Wow.
She did the best she could. Now who does that? And you would think that I would straighten up, you know, because she bought me a car and she gave me a house.
Mm-hmm.
My whole family moved out into another house. She said, you grown, Debbie. Now, you have a house. Here's $10,000. But I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So I continued to have the same behavior. But when all of this started changing, you know, when I tried to take my life, I end up slitting my wrist in my room, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I was so depressed about, the money couldn't fix it.
Mm.
The car and all those different things couldn't. I was like, wow. I didn't learn about who I really was until my mom came in the room and found me and took me to the hospital. And I didn't even know that that what I did was against the law, because they call that suicide.
Mm.
I found out when the police and everything, they started talking to me in the hospital, because when you try to commit suicide, you're breaking the law. And so now they needed to, my mom needed to do something else for me. She needed to take me to a psychiatrist to make sure everything is all right, because that's not normal thinking behavior. And so when I saw Dr. Wells, I can remember the the lady I talked to, I would go see weekly, and she would talk to me about what was going on with me. Well, it was different things going on in my home that was helping my behavior to be like that. And so I found out who I was, and then I began to question who I was even the more. And things start opening up to me when I went to go see this play, a play that showed my life. It was a story of my life and how the enemy, the devil, Satan, was trying to get me to self-destruct so that I would no longer be here, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Now, when you say your life, you mean the play. You saw your life in the play.
Yes. You know how you can see, you look at a movie or a play and you can relate and you can see yourself, that happening to you right before your eyes or in the movie or on the stage. Well, this was happening. I was like, wow, somebody else know about, you know, this kind of thing happening. This was happening not just to me now. I saw it was being exposed and displayed on stage. So I was feeling like, wow, I can change. There is hope for me. And so that's when I began to start looking into more about why I'm here and who God is. I gave my life to Christ that day at that particular play, and God has been changing my life ever since.
Wow.
It's real. But I told my mom I was going to get married, and she said, oh, Debbie, he's not going to be able to take care of you. I said, really? She told me I wasn't going to get married, so I thought I was grown. I thought when I'm grown, I do what I want to do. So I ran off and got married anyway. Lord, ended up with the hardest time in my life. I didn't even really, really know what I was in for. But the best thing out of my three children and the marriage that I was in, that God, he helped to build character. I have some really serious episodes about my life in the book, Choose Joy on Purpose. And my marriage, it really helped me. My first marriage, this is my prince right here. Bob and I, we have been married for almost 25 years now. And my first marriage to my children's father was for 11 years. I was hoping and praying and thinking that this was going to change. He'll be able to, you know, it's going to all work out. I went through so much. Won't even talk to you about what I went through. But that's what built character in me. Some of the pain that I experienced through that relationship had my heart hurting so bad that I wanted to take it out and sit it on the table. And I was like, whoa, and I still would just operate the principles of God through the midst of the pain.
Wow. Now, that's an interesting position that you had given your life to Christ. And a lot of women, I believe, go through that sense of, even though they're in a bad relationship, that sense of belief that it's going to change exists, and it contributes to more pain.
Yes.
So why do you, as a woman, help maybe some of the men viewers, help us understand why women endure that type of affliction? Because, you know, sometimes you see a woman going through some issues and maybe getting abused or beat or verbally abused, and you say, well, why does she put up with that? Why doesn't she put him out or leave him? You know, what is it that keeps that hope alive, so to speak? And it keeps you moving in that direction.
Well, I really didn't know what it was at first. I just know that it was something that was driving me for the attention that I was getting. That I was getting the attention that I thought I needed. And, you know, it seemed like it's something. I believe it's the scripture where it talks about the, it's a curse, I believe it is, for women to want to chase after somebody that's not good for them. It's another form of self-destruct and low self-esteem. This is what I think I deserved, apparently, and the character of a person, just believing that everybody can change. If I can change, I believe that he could change, and that's what I believe women, they think. you know, they hopeful and they're prayerful. And it's been stories where people have actually changed.
Mm-hmm.
But in my case, I didn't, even though I was hurt, even though it was abuse through, you know, other women and alcohol and crack, all kind of stuff was substance abuse. These things were in our marriage. I still was holding on to our marriage. And I was holding on not because I just wanted out. Mm. I wanted the way that God wanted it to go. So I was looking for him for deliverance, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted the truth so I can be free. And so he caused me to love him in the midst of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the character of Christ. He said, vengeance is mine, and we can overcome evil with good. So I can get as close to my God, and he transformed me when I started spending time with him. The more time I spent with God, the more I was transformed, the more I was able to love him past all of his faults and everything.
That's one of the things I noticed about you when we first met, is that the word of God was always paramount to you, and not in a pious kind of way, but in a life-sustaining kind of way. So would you tell us how the word of God, or why the word of God was so, it was then and it continues to be now, even in your life, the importance of it, but how has it changed and helped change and shape your life?
Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody and just wanted them so much, but they didn't pay you any attention? And perhaps everything was fine at one time, or even you just tried to get their attention. You would want to go with them where they go,
mm-hmm.
and they wouldn't want you to go, or you would want to call them to call you, and you looking at the phone and they're not calling, and you just desiring to be with them, but they rejecting you, and that hurts. And I just knew that it was another way. As I began to read the word of God, it became more than my necessary food.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have to look out the window looking to see when they coming. When are you coming back? Like, I just needed to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found out that God was my first love, and I was putting someone else before him.
Wow.
And God is a jealous God. And when I read that God was a jealous God, and he doesn't want us to have no other gods before us, I don't care how good your husband is, or how bad he is, or how much he does for you, but we have a responsibility as born-again believers to put God first. And he's a jealous God. And he said that he don't want us to have no other guys before us, talking about children, husband, any relationship. So when I began to put him first and spend that quality time with him, the word started transforming my life. I can remember before the internet and before these smartphones came out.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember sitting on the bus going to beauty school, reading my Bible on the bus, and I would get where I am in school, and people were like, "What you reading?" You know, and I was like, "This." I would just read it for me. I wasn't trying to show out. I would put it away,
right?
Because I wasn't trying to explain it to anybody. But this was my food.
Mm.
This was keeping me alive. This is how I made it through the relationship that I thought that this wasn't right. But God, Jesus had went through a lot of stuff that wasn't right. And I figured this must be what I have to go through, or he's going to deliver me. So I was trusting God to deliver me from this, that if trouble can't last always. So I was being sustained by the word.
Bethlehem House is a respite for homeless working women. They can stay here for up to a year. When they come, they're kind of disheveled a little bit, but we try and put them back together here. Our goal is for them to save money. It's very important. And clean their credit. Because without good credit, your money is no good. Isn't that amazing? But they stay here for a year, and we kind of get them back together, and they go on.
So, Sam, I heard your grandma say they're donating that car to Charity Motors.
Yeah.
Said they're getting a full fair market tax deduction for it?
I do not know what that means.
It means we get whatever it's worth as a tax deduction, right when we donate it.
Nope, not getting it.
It means we get money for it. So does the charity we pick. And the car goes half off to someone who really needs it.
Dollar bills, Sam. Whoop, whoop. Charity Motors.
Yep.
Working woman should be homeless. Find out how you can help at BethlehemHouse.org. And remember, the year's drawing to a close quickly. Isn't that something? Well, I'm sure some of you are glad to see 2020 on its way. But there is a benefit to be had by you by donating your car to Charity Motors. And even if you don't have a car, you can make a donation because guess what? The needs never stop. Find out more about Charity Motors at charitymotors.org. Charitymotors.org. Today's show topic, the marks of resilient and remarkable women, and today's guest is thought leader and community change agent, Pamela Grant James. Welcome to the Spectrum, Pamela. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Thank you, Bobby. So for the most part, I'm still a work in progress, okay? Still a work in progress, so we need to let all the people know that. I consider myself a daughter of holy, and I try my best to carry out the purpose that God has set for my life. And I thoroughly enjoy helping people move closer to the divine, because this gives me life. In other words, you know, the energy, their energy, people's energy, the more I connect, the more I am energized and the more something seems to be happening between both of us.
And going back to the idea of resilience, it requires a great degree of resilience, along with many other attributes, to actually write a book. I'm sure that you've heard people tell you they were going to write a book and they're thinking about it, or they've got a book in them, or they got it on their mind, but they've never done it. But you have done just that. So tell us the title of your book. How long did it take and why did you write it? I know that's a lot, and feel free to ask me again if you missed one of them. But you've written a book. Tell us again the title of your book, and how long it took you to write it, and why did you do it? Why'd you write it?
Wow. So the title of my book is A Breath of Inspiration. And why did I do it? I was commanded by God to do it. And I shouldn't use the word commanded, because that sounds so strong and not even positive, but provoked, moved, pushed, okay, to write it by God. And basically, 10 years ago, I came up with the title, A Breath. I added inspiration as I finished the book. But basically, this book was being written through my entire lifetime. So it's not just a book that was written in the last couple of months. I started writing these poetic reflections, if you will, at a very youthful age, and continued to write and keep these papers and notebooks, et cetera, all this time. And during the pandemic, God said, what's your excuse now? You know, always excuse, not enough time. I'll do it later. And then I felt that I had to be obedient to God. I had to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And so I sat down many, many days and to remember, I already wrote the book, really, just to put it together, to kind of just put it all together at one time. And it was very, very difficult. I relate it to having a baby, being in labor, you know. you get pregnant, you have a baby, you're excited, right? So I was impregnated with all these ideas and all this stuff. And as I started to do it, the labor, you know, the first trimester wasn't so, the first trimester actually was very difficult, rather. And the second trimester, not so much so. And then the third trimester, wow. I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up. I was like, this is too much. This is too hard. And then I was, you know, getting ready to push this baby out, this book. I was like, I can't. I couldn't give up. It's like, you can't stop in the middle of labor, right? You got to deliver this baby. So that's the kind of process that I would relate this book birthing, if you will, to.
Okay. And how long did it take to write it? How long have you been writing it?
So I've been writing it through a lifetime, decades, just accumulating, you know, some months you didn't write, maybe even some years I didn't write, but always able through the different moves I've made to keep this collection together because God wanted me to keep it together. I really believe that. And so I never lost it. I never lost the pieces of papers and the notebooks and all that kind of stuff. It always went with me, and I continued to just continue writing. And even during the pandemic, I would, one of the poems, particularly during this pandemic and this season, was written in the last 6 months, if you will. But most of them was throughout time, year, two, okay. 3, 4, 10, 12, 15, 20. So it was throughout time. And as you read it, you'll see, you won't really see it throughout time, but there are different seasons. There are different seasons. I guess maybe that's the best way to put it. There are different seasons in this book. And so during the pandemic, COVID-19, you know, I was unemployed for almost 6 months. And the blessing was I was really able to focus on completing this work. And you're right. Many people do talk about it. Like I talked about it for years and years. But it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of resilience. I believe that is the right word to complete it, to definitely complete it.
Please tell the listeners how they can connect with you and how they can acquire your absolutely wonderful book.
So thank you, Bobby. You've been a great person to work with, and I look forward to working with you some more. So they can connect with getting a breath of inspiration through Pamela, Pamela, Grant, Grant, James, James, at iCloud.com. They can also connect with getting this book on Amazon. It should be available within a week, so they can order directly or contact me directly. And these are two avenues that they can get in contact with getting a part of this book.
Well, it has been outstanding, my friends, to have this time with you, and I do appreciate it. I do appreciate the time that we spend together, the time that you choose to listen to me on Bashani Radio app. I count it a privilege to be a part of the Bashani Radio app family. It's an awesome experience. I want to greet my friends in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, as well as my listeners here in the U.S. and around the world. Thank you all for tuning in. Well, guess what? I've got a special gift for you. Connect with me on Instagram at Bobby Ray Ivory Jr. on Instagram, at Bobby Ray Ivory Jr. on Instagram. And you know, I've told you before why it's Bobby Ray Ivory Jr., because there's more than one person calling themselves Bob Ivory, and that's their parents. You know, the parents did that, and there's nothing I can do about that. So, if you want to connect with me, it's at Bobby Ray Ivory Jr. on Instagram. Connect with me on Facebook, if you will. But I've got a free audio book that I want to give to you completely free of charge. I want you to have it. But I only want you to have it if you reach out and say, send one to me, Bob Ivory of the Spectrum. Send me one. I'd like to have that. No mailing, just a nice free download.
Well, my friends, I think you know what's coming next as we wrap this up. You know that I want you to go out there and have a fantastic day on purpose. And you know I mean that. Be well, my friends. My friends here in the U.S., happy holidays. Be safe and be clear. Bye for now.
Making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.